The Truth Discovered, compiled by Brother Colin and Sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury in the UK. Chapter 18, submitted by Brother Percy Kingston of Forley in the UK. Accepting the Challenge. I was brought up within the influence of the truth, my parents having been within the Ecclesia for some 30 years. As a child, I was sent to a nearby mission Sunday school not far from Staverton in Gloucestershire, my folks belonging to the Cheltenham Ecclesia. As my parents moved about the country, I attended various Christadelphian Sunday schools, until finally in 1932 I was enrolled as one of the first scholars in the Isolation League Sunday School. It was here that I really felt I received a grounding in the truth. One had the feeling of belonging, of being part of a family, and much of this was due to the leadership of Frank Shepherd, better known to many of us as Philadelphus. Here, by correspondence, the basics of the truth were instilled into the students. My final teacher was the late N.L. Evans, then of Chester, and it was he who brought me to a better understanding of first principles. This, of course, should have been the final step towards immersion, but sad to say, it was not the time for me. I looked around at the Brotherhood at large and saw what to me were many faults. I heard brethren giving exhortations on how we should live and in effect saying, "Don't do what I do, just do what I tell you." I saw much infighting in the Ecclesia, much rancour, much disharmony. Love seemed to have been cast out of the room. Even the Table of Memories was not exempt from the very bitter exchanges between brethren, and mixing with the world on a large scale was being practised. So there appeared to me to be a show of doing what was right, but at the same time living a life that was in total opposition to the truth. I felt something of a kindred spirit with James when he wrote, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be." Paul told the Corinthian Ecclesia, "For we are labourers together with God. How could we be under such conditions as these?" These experiences saddened me and caused me to leave the orbit of the Ecclesia and to seek for salvation by some other path. I knew that the Christadelphians were the holders of the truth, but I thought I might be able to find it enclosed in some other wrapping. So I went the rounds of churches and chapels, yet all the time I was defending the truth as I knew it. I even convinced the Baptist minister concerning the truth, but came away very disappointed when I saw that he was not prepared to give up his house and £150 a year stipend. That was a lot of money in 1936. I felt that he should have forsaken all to walk in the way of salvation. I visited the Wesleyans and the Congregationalists, now I believe they're called the United Reformed Church. Both appeared sincere, but as one probed the depths of each, I found that there was no depth to them, only a shallowness, faulty in doctrine, emotional in outlook, and sentimental in worship. The Salvation Army, I found, had a way of expressing their happiness in their music and their singing, which I felt was sadly lacking in the Brotherhood. But beyond this, there was nothing but a throwing of pennies on the drum in the market square of a Saturday night. No depth and no doctrine. The Ealing churches also came into this category, a playing on the emotions and a subtle plea to give oneself to Jesus, although just what that meant nobody seemed to know. The Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses each held a small aspect of the truth, but were much astray from the true doctrine. The Plymouth Brethren were too holy to be true, too strict and rigid, possessing no love and no doctrine, rather like the Puritans of olden days who sailed on the Mayflower. They all failed to satisfy me in my church for truth, and I was left exactly where I had started out. It was my father, I believe, who was the means of bringing me to my senses. He had lived through the many experiences that I myself had objected to, and he too had been kicking over the traces, as it were. It was during a discourse with him in some of our saner moments, most of the time we were never in agreement over anything, that he expressed the view, "If it were not that they held the truth, I would leave the Christadelphians, but I know that I shall find it nowhere else on earth." Not a thing to say, I thought. But the more I pondered these words, the more I became convinced that I had been looking for the wrong thing. I had been seeking perfection in the days of the flesh. I now know that I had been wrong. Nothing is perfect in this life, nor indeed can be. Perfection only exists in prospect, that is, in the kingdom for which we look. And it was then that I came to the waters of separation, knowing that one had to face an uphill struggle. Things to which I found objection are still with us and are there to be fought against. It is this fighting that has been provided to strengthen our characters and to keep our feet in the way of the tree of life. And so I was immersed at Lewin Hall, Streatham in London on 2nd December 1937, happy at last to have taken the first step towards salvation. Things are still nowhere near perfect. There is a fight in which I get engaged still, and a fight that is on to the end. So I now give warnings at immersions to the newcomers. You are not coming to a perfect household. It doesn't exist today. We fight and we bicker and we do many things wrong. There can be no perfect ecclesia till the Master comes and sorts us out at the judgment seat, where we must all appear, to receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The task before us all is to overcome. And so it was that I joined my first ecclesia at Hemel Hempstead in Hertfordshire in the UK, and was given the right hand of fellowship on the following Sunday. Percy Kingston later moved to Bognor Regis and started a small ecclesia in Bognor Regis, which our friends David and Alicia Russell attended.